In Jesus' name we pray. With Jesus' joy in our hearts and with a clap, I want us to welcome my Father in the Lord.
Come in the name of Jesus. God is in the business of recalibrating his church, rebranding his church, not in terms of new innovations, but in conformity with the pattern that was pioneered by our first ancestors in the apostolic business. We have experienced a departure, and God wants to realign us with our ancient roots of righteousness. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. We exalt your name. And we ask again this morning that you will visit us and stretch forth your hand. Bless every heart that is under the sound of my voice. Bless those that are online, in different nations, connecting with what we're doing. Let the same thing that is happening to us here on ground happen to our brothers and sisters online in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We are going to do a brief Bible study, and we will take some time to navigate in the scriptures so that the mind of God can be clear to us. I think when I look at the time, I become scared because I don't know. Okay, let's start from Leviticus so that we will be able to do at least one aspect of what I want to bring to us. Leviticus chapter 8. Leviticus chapter 8. Yesterday in our study, we saw that separation was the security of the priest. Today we want to see how that consecration is the power of a priest. Consecration is the power of a priest. Separation is the security of a priest. Consecration is the power of the priest. In the book of Leviticus, where I'm inviting us to open to turn to, it's a meticulous presentation on the subject of the way of consecration. Okay, maybe I did not define. You see, I jumped here because of time. Hi. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Genesis chapter 17 from verse 11. Now my technical man will have to help me. Genesis 17:11. want to define consecration and go through the stages of the development of this truth until we are fully informed of that which God expects concerning us. In verse 11 of Genesis chapter 17, the Bible says, "And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you." Next verse. "And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations, he that is born in the house, and he that is bought with money of any stranger, which is not thy seed." There were two kinds of, two platforms of possibility that guarantees membership in the house of Abraham. It is either you were born in the house as a legitimate son of the bloodline, or you were bought with money. And just in case you were born in the house, your destiny as a male child is circumcision. That is the only way you can be a partaker of the commonwealth that comes on the basis of our fraternity with God. And if you were bought with money, your destination is still circumcision in order for you to become a bona fide citizen of the covenant that is functional in the realm. For those of us that have given our lives to Christ, are you with me? You were both born in the house and you were also bought with money, making it inevitable for you, making circumcision inevitable for you. This circumcision is going to be the first platform of God's signature of ownership on your life. I know you're not with me. Do I need to break it down more than this? You know, I said that for us that are believers, you were both born in the house and you were also bought with money, making it compulsory for you to undergo circumcision. You were bought with money because your salvation was procured at the expense of the death of Jesus. That's the price that was paid to secure your salvation. Your bride price happens to be the death of Jesus. So there was a price that was paid for your redemption. And in your current status, you are God's property. If we are going to go by the legal implication of things. Are you there? Now, I will need to explain to us the meaning of circumcision within the context of the New Testament. Circumcision in the Old Testament is external. The concept of circumcision is sustained throughout all testaments, but the application of circumcision. Okay, snap all of us and sit down. Let's allow him 5 minutes. Snap everything and sit down. No, give him time. If you need 24 pictures, take it now. And when you are done, hide your camera somewhere else. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. I insist that we must accord the word of God the reverence that is needed. The Holy Ghost will never be powerful in your life if it doesn't have authority around your life. Never. You want to move in the Holy Spirit? You want to move in His power? I need to ask you a few questions. Have you considered Him such a personality that is worth obeying? When He speaks to you, do you obey? What is your level of compliance with the prescriptions that you study in the Bible? So if you you don't consider God to be a personality too that can call the shots in your life, why are you hoping that you will get his best? Because you are a rebel. And a rebel is now making demands and is carrying placards and demanding rights. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Now the reason why we're doing the kind of study that we're doing is to open up what Christianity is. So that each and every one of us can appreciate that into which we have been called. Alright, so let's proceed. You were born in the house by an act of God's own free will. He begot you by the word of truth. You were also bought with money, making you God's property. I hope you know, because if the handkerchief I use, I can decide after preaching to leave it on the pulpit. I bought it. I can decide how I want it to be. There is a scope of authority that God is supposed to have over the life of the believer, that therefore makes the believer a functionary that is held up under the influence of the government of God. If at any point in time you are not such a functionary that is answerable to God, someone that considers Jesus as the first audience of your life and everything that you are doing in keeping with the fact that you have a wonderful estimation of the sacrifice that he paid in order to secure your salvation, and in keeping with the need to reciprocate this love, which is a proof that you are reasonable, you will therefore seek to serve his will. Hallelujah. Many believers are in church, and the reason why they are in church is because of a said breakthrough. You are a fake Christian. Most of the problems that will happen in the body of Christ, it is you that will create it. You will be the one to spoil our name in public because you are in church for the wrong reason. What we are talking about in the book of Genesis chapter 17 is covenant. And circumcision is supposed to be the mark of that covenant that I now know, on the account of my circumcision, that I belong to a fraternity. Are you with me? I belong to a spiritual brotherhood. I belong to God. Is that clear? Alright, Philippians chapter 3. Let's find out what it means to be circumcised within the context of the New Testament. Then we can continue on our teaching for the morning. Hallelujah. My technical man, give me Philippians chapter 3 verse 3. Let me just go to the verse of interest so that I don't get you weary with too many scriptures. For we are the circumcision that worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The circumcision has three characteristics of identification. The first characteristic is that we worship God in spirit. Second characteristic is that we rejoice in Christ Jesus. And the third characteristic is that we do not have any form, iota, of confidence in the flesh. Now, in attempting to explain this scripture, I want to begin from number 3, then I move to number 2 before I engage number 1. I hope that's okay. The hallmark of the circumcision is in this. I think I need to use us again to proceed. I hope we'll be able to keep the clearance. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, the Bible says we are the circumcision that worship God in spirit, but rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. So these are the three attributes of the circumcision within the context of the New Testament. And circumcision in the New Testament, it is a surgery that is done on the heart, not externally. And I was telling you a story that while I was in the university, I had an ability. And the ability I had was cramming. So I could cram a lot. I could cram a textbook. I could cram handouts. So I was conveniently heading for a first-class degree. Because of that ability I had, I was exceptionally proud. And I used to tell my colleagues that they were cursed because they read a lot and they can't retain. So I was excited about my ability. And God wanted to use me. And as long as I had confidence in myself, I was useless to God. Meanwhile, I was a preacher then. I would preach about my GP, my excellence, for 25 minutes before I preach Jesus for the rest of the time. So my preaching was polluted with self. So when God had mercy on me and he wanted to help me, what he did was he removed his covering from my life. Crammed as usual, entered into the hall and forgot everything. And it happened 5 times in 5 major courses, and that was how I got the first carryover of my academic career. It took a lot of courage for me to be able to sit in the carryover classes. However, at the end of the day, it became clear to me that that thing that I had confidence in was not reliable. So that was the procedure God had to subject me to in order to break the source of my confidence. Because as long as you trust in yourself, some of you trust in your beauty, some of you trust in your intellect, like I used to be. Some of you trust in something else, in a relative, and they will see you through. So you do things in the hope that your relative will show up. Many times if God wants to help you, not your confidence, is going to remove it. So that you can see how vulnerable and how insufficient you are without the help of God. In fact, in some cases, are you with me? There was this brother those days that used to boast about his holiness, about the fact that he was a righteous person. And he comes from a long line of righteous people. And that's why it's almost natural for him to operate the way he was operating. And when God wanted to help him, he fell into immorality. Because God would defeat every other confidence that you have sustained all the while, because he is supposed to be your confidence. It is when you have gone through that procedure, that process, that you no longer have confidence in the flesh. Are you with me? It is an indication that a surgery has been conducted on your heart, and now you have become the circumcision. Whereas a man that has not gone through that process will glory in himself, but when you have gone through that process, you will glory, you will rejoice in Christ Jesus. Because you understand that everything that you are and everything that you have the capacity to become, you are going to become by reason of the grace of God. And it happens to be that during the incarnation, when God became flesh, when God came into man, the commentator, people that were onlookers in that time when he was made manifest, the Bible says that they beheld his glory, even the glory of the begotten of the Father. And there were two expressions of that glory. He was full of grace. He was full of truth. Just in case you take Jesus and you squeeze him, what will come out of him? The virtue that he was contained with, that will come out of that squeezing, is grace. So everyone that have become this circumcision understands grace. That you see, grace happens to be the energy with which God builds and implements his policy. That's what he makes available for the implementation of his policy. If God wants to build, if God wants to implement something, if God wants to do something upon the face of the earth, what he makes available for the actualization of the project is about to implement is called grace. And grace is the virtue of the Christ. And every such believer that has gone through that process and has lost confidence in himself and now is stayed on God for empowerment, for endowment, for capacitation, cannot give himself glory. He will perpetually and continually be caught up in the act of rejoicing in Christ Jesus for every feat that is performed. In that state of perpetual rejoicing in Christ Jesus, he becomes an object, a personality that is given to perpetual worship of God in spirit. Now, worship is going to be obstructed by self. Whenever there is another monarch in the boat, then worship is not in view. But when you have seen the futility of flesh and its attendant insufficiency, you will now be willing to subscribe to God's model, which he made available before you were created. And that model is captured in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 26. For the Bible says, what does Romans 8:26 say? Technical man. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The first thing I want to preach to you about is that you are a bundle of infirmities, a bag of infirmities. Maybe someone is in the congregation. You got your master's degree in Georgia and you got the PhD in Oxford University. It has not affected your infirmities. You are still a bundle of infirmities. In fact, Your literacy has armed your infirmities to be more infirm. So likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You see, so God's wisdom, are you here? God's protocol for administering sufficiency to us is in the person of the Holy Ghost. So, when you come to a discovery of the fact that you were created deliberately insufficient, then you become a candidate to subscribe to God's provision of reinforcement and support, which is in the Holy Ghost. In the eyes of God, a complete man has two attributes. He acknowledges his insufficiency and he draws sufficiency from the Holy Ghost. That's the arrangement. But it's only the circumcision that sustains that orientation of being a candidate where they enjoy perpetual supplies from the overflowing fountain that is in the Spirit of God. Are you with me? All right. Before I came for your conference, I took 2 days from home. Entered a hotel. It's from that place I came here. I just finished from the hotel in the morning, went home, took my bag, dressed, and we started coming to Lokoja. Because you might think, you may not know that the person speaking to you was born a stammerer, and all the symptoms of stammering are still with me. In order for me to preach, preaching for me is not natural because I can't talk. Yeah, when I stay long enough, the powers of communication. What I have is not communication, it's utterance. Anything my spirit touches in heaven, I can describe it with that power. You might find out that you may not be able to minister at a certain level if you don't have the utterance. And I can show you several encounters that Paul had. It took him 17 years of seeking God before he found the utterance to be able to communicate them. Only the circumcision operates like that. Because a man that has confidence in himself will go and share the things with his own mundane language and confuse the entire body of Christ. Paul waited for 17 years until the facility for conveying the mind of God without diminishing the essence of what God is working in the spirit. When that facility came, that was when the communication took place. And I'm talking about the book of Ephesians. It took 17 years before he gave the utterance of those things. Meanwhile, he encountered them when he went to Arabia for retreat. The heavenly visions of Paul. Well, we don't have time for that this morning. So the circumcision has no confidence in the flesh. That is, it is that orientation that makes you practically aligned to the resources that God has made available to fast track, to facilitate, and to prosecute your destiny. Are you still with me? All right. Please help me preach to your neighbor. You are a bag of infirmity. Meanwhile, in this my golden scripture, that's not an insult. That is the administering knowledge to you. Knowledge. Very sound knowledge that will help your life. Because I was useless to God as long as I was parading that pride and thinking I was better than my neighbor. As long as I still felt sufficient in myself, I was going to be a problem to the body of Christ. If you listen to a preacher preach that has not gone through circumcision, if you know where to look, you identify him. He is not worth listening to. Cast it. If you have it on your phone, delete it and delete the software that you use to catch it. Oh, you laugh because you don't know what I'm talking about. If you go to the book of 2 Timothy, you will find that's where I can show you what a doctrinal disease is. It eats faster into your soul more than gangrene, which is what we call cancer. Let me not trouble you. All right. Are you there? So he that is born in the house and he that is bought with money will have to be circumcised. The circumcision mark on the foreskin of either slave or freeborn is a sign of the fact that they are part of an arrangement that God has put in place. First of all, it indicates that they are no longer their own. They belong to a master. You see, when slaves were bought in those days, the first thing you do when you buy a slave, when you acquire a slave, is that you use the brand of your house to emboss his flesh. If the brand of your house is a letter K, there is a crafted metal that is a K metal somewhere. It's your branding material. So when new sets of slaves come, you put the K into the fire and you brand them. Just in case they get lost. If the person is already branded, they will ferry the person back to the estate that has the K brand. And God, in accepting the fact that he is Lord and owner of your sanctuary, he commanded circumcision as his own brand. And in New Testament application, it's a surgery that God does to the heart that causes our heart to retain the knowledge of the fact that we are obviously insufficient, which is supposed to be the foundation of what we call our school of the Spirit. You are not admitted into the school of the Spirit if you have not come to an acknowledgement of the fact that you are grossly insufficient, and your designer, your manufacturer, deliberately manufactured you insufficient in that wise, so that you will seek for sufficiency beyond you. And that was what the psalmist was trying to exemplify in many metaphoric speeches when he said, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. That's the orientation of the circumcision. He looks to the hills. If his help doesn't come, he will wait there, because he knows that in himself is insufficiency. Is that clear? Good. Now, in advancing, I need to make a quick statement here. So when you are born again, even though God has paid for you with the price of his blood, and you are by law his property, he will not impose his will on you until you decide to give yourself freely to him. All right. Come with me to the book of, let me clarify something. I think Romans chapter 12 quickly, so that I can define a few terminologies. I'm coming. Hallelujah. Give me a moment. Let me. Give me a moment, please. Are you there in Romans 12? It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'll have to explain this to us in a moment. First of all, you will notice that Paul is beseeching. In the book of Leviticus, if you begin to read the book of Leviticus, you're going to see five offerings that God commanded. First offering is the... We have peace offering. Sin offering is the first offering. Sin offering, peace offering, trespass offering, meat offering, and burnt offering. So this is a burnt offering. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, that's the burnt offering. He said, I beseech you, brethren. Meanwhile, two of the offerings are compulsory, the sin offering and the trespass offering. But three of the offerings are voluntary, and that's why he was not forcing them. He was doing what? Beseeching them. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. I need to explain that. Because he said, it is a mark that indicates the fact that you are reasonable. I married a Yoruba woman. And my people are royal. I used to know my grandfather as the monarch of our district. When we came to Yoruba land, they say, Dobale. The way they transact here is go down. And that's a problem because... may the Lord give you understanding. So when we finished the Dobale, they gave us That's introduction. We have not started a... They gave us a list. And the list was in Yoruba language. The first need I had was for an interpreter. Because some things there were in the ancient language. Not the contemporary one that they mix with some English. After we interpreted the whole list, then I began, how long did it take to get items? There was even a particular kind of fish, a species of fish that they said I should go and look for. By the time we gathered all the things on the day of the traditional marriage, the items formed a mini mountain on the field. After that, and meanwhile, that was the real Dobale day. The items were not as costly as getting my people to Dobale. I'm owing many of them now because of that journey. When we finished, traditionally, after that ceremony, my wife was my property. I paid. It's when you take her home that you find out there is something you didn't pay for. And that is her love. She will give you if she wants. And there is nothing you can do to earn it. She will give it willingly. If she has seen the things you suffered in order to procure the items on the list, and she is reasonable, it is expected that she will give the love for free. So, the scripture says how that Jesus has paid a bride price, and the cost in that case was his blood, because he had to fulfill the claims of divine justice. And the position of divine justice concerning the rebellion of man was that in the day that you eat of this fruit, ye shall surely die. Jesus did miracles. He raised the dead. But that's not why he came here. He came here to die. The height of his errand in satisfying the claims of divine justice was to die. That was why he came. And then he satisfied it. The day you accepted him, it means his blood also did a work in your life. Is that clear? Is that true? And on the strength of that which his blood did, you, if you understand the dynamics of the things that took place, it is expected that you should reciprocate with consecration. You see, he bought you, but he will not force you to yield to serve his will. That is supposed to be something that happens naturally if you understand the scope of sacrifice that was invested in your redemption. Now, he said, are you here? So there are two parts to consecration. The first part is an acknowledgement of the fact that you are bought, and henceforth you are now God's property. The second part is, having understood that you are God's property, you have decided by an act of your own will to release yourself as an object of service to his will. I know you didn't get that. Two parts. So as we are seated here now, we are all bought. But the conflict is that we are not all reasonable. That's the conflict. And when we find a situation where believers are not reasonable, they are in the kingdom for the wrong things. Some are in the kingdom probably to use God's power and his excellency, his majesty, to secure breakthroughs for them. That's why they are in the kingdom. They got it all wrong. That's a false platform of entry. And someone that comes into the kingdom and is operating at that level of compliance cannot be useful to God. Listen, in salvation, God meets your need. But in the kingdom, when you submit to serve the will of God, you meet God's need. Some people's needs have been met, but they have refused to offer themselves as a platform from whence God's needs can now be met. So these guys are not profitable to God one bit in the kingdom. They are actually a liability in the space. For the past few years, mainstream Christianity in Nigeria has taught people about entitlements and rights. What that unbalanced teaching has produced is that it has made us to be self-centered and self-seeking. And it has closed our eyes to being reasonable to the point of consecrating ourselves to serve the will of God. So we are not ready to be available to prosecute the desires of God for our lives. That's not our object for existence. We are existing to use God to achieve that which we want. And that is Antichrist preaching. The goal of God cannot be fulfilled with that kind of delivery. And that was why I began the other day. I saw that people's faces changed, so I stopped. That in the portrait of a blessed man, the Christian has three postures, I said. There is a sitting posture, there is a walking posture, and there is what? A standing posture. And that's the encapsulation of the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians takes its bearing from Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord his God, and on that law he shall meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. The unrighteous, the Bible says, are not so, for they are like chaff before the wind. They are like what? So, you see, the story of the unrighteous is already, it has been, is already judged. So for, you can actually look at an unrighteous man without the gift of prophecy and say, this is where you will end. You are like chaff, you will be burnt off in the end. It has already been judged. Are you here? The sitting position that we're talking about, just like I was trying to use AB that day as an example, that now that AB is sitting down, his weight is on the seat, weight is on the chair. So when you come into the kingdom of God, the first thing that you are supposed to know are the things that are already accomplished. You walk in the plane of that which is done. In order for you to understand the scope of possibility within the enterprise, then when you have sat well, the next procedure is for you to begin to walk. Sitting, our sitting position is our domiciliary position that we sustain in the heavenly realms. The Bible reveals that when Jesus came back to heaven, after fulfilling the claims of divine justice, he was given an office, a portfolio. This that I said to you is in the book of the prophecy of David in Psalms 110. He was given a portfolio. He was given an office. He was given administrative capacity in the heavens. And that office is what we refer to as the Christ. The Christ is an office. Jesus is a person. The Christ is a ministry, is the administrator of all of the concerns and the purposes of God. Without that administrator, the purposes of God are truncated. Are you here? Yes, you are not here. You see, when Adam sinned, God's purpose ended there until the Christ ascended that throne in the heavens as administrator. That's when God's purpose continued. Everything you have in the Old Testament are types and shadows of what God wants to implement, but God was not doing anything. So Jesus was admitted into administrative capacity as the Christ. And the Bible says that as believers, our entry point into kingdom dynamics is that we are seated with him. Our journey begins with sitting. And our sitting position happens to be far above principalities and powers. And in the realm of the spirit, your authority is determined by the height from whence you operate. So there are many things that God will want to teach you on that level. Then the second level is your walking. Because in the realm of the spirit, you sit first, walk next, and then stand eventually. But in the natural, how does it go? You sit, you stand before you walk. But here, you walk before you stand. The reason for which God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms, which you are enjoying where you are sitting, is because the application of your sitting is walking. And walking means the walk of holiness by the agency of the cross. It's the cross that crucifies you to the world and crucifies the world to you, so that you can no longer be a servant of the world. The energies and the bounties of God upon your life cannot be used to adorn the world. You are an outlaw from the world. The world has no value for you anymore because of the cross. The only value you have is in the kingdom to serve the will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So our walk of holiness is the walk we are talking about. It is in the context of your walk of holiness that you sustain the capacity of an ambassador that is manifesting on earth with the value system of heaven. That's the second phase of this program. There are churches that emphasize walk as the ultimate. Some other churches emphasize seat as the ultimate. If you see the template that these two frames of churches are running, you will think their God is different. But it is not, because God has called us to pick and choose. The portrait of the blessed man is threefold, and every believer must have the threefold orientation. Exactly. It is when you have walked this walk of holiness that is facilitated by the verdict of the cross that you cannot become a creature of warfare in standing. Because if your obedience is not fulfilled, you cannot revenge disobedience. Are you with me? Are you following what I'm talking about? So, you might be saying we are faith preachers. We are faith preachers. And you remain on seat. You deceive the people you are pastoring. God will need to take you out by storm so that he can introduce other ministers that will complete the truth that your congregation is running with. Do you see the kind of damage that happens to the body of Christ when people decide to pick and choose doctrine? Meanwhile, the Bible says that all scripture is given for what? For doctrine. For reproof. You cannot be thoroughly furnished if you are not a student of all scripture. So the job of a preacher is not to pick and choose. In Nigeria, we have churches that are sitting churches. We have churches that are walking churches. We have churches that are standing churches. And none of these churches looks like the apostolic church. Did you get the gist? Hallelujah. Now, I deliberately drifted into this place, not part of our lecture. So, this one is a bonus. This one I just said now. Let's go back to our lecture. Hallelujah. Amen. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we will need to become authentic Christians again. Because God is emphasizing that authentic Christians will need to rise again from Nigeria. One of the reasons why Boko Haram will not win is because God has already sworn that authentic Christians, apostolic type Christians, are going to rise from the nation called Nigeria. And a lot of these Christians are going to fill the gap of missionary manpower. Such power that will be sent into diverse corners of the world to bear witness for Jesus. And that's the reason for the rigorous discipleship that we are involved in now. We are in capacity building now in the body of Christ. Because that which began from the throne room that came to the upper room must visit the classroom, the school of Tyrannus, in the book of Acts chapter 19, before it can move room to room. We have cut off the classroom aspect. And so there's no depth in the body of Christ. The average Christian doesn't know what he believes. Hallelujah. I've seen some funny people on Facebook just talking rubbish, and I'm seeing likes there. You know what? The reason why there are likes is because a generation is cursed. When the teaching priest is removed from the civilization of kingdom development, then a curse will come upon that generation. A curse will come upon that generation. It was the chief priest that says, these people, not knowing the law, are cursed. A curse will come upon that generation. They will spend their energy doing the wrong things and empowering Satan. And the influence of Satan will be unrestrained. These are the symptoms that we see find expression in our generation at the moment. Calling for a restorative initiative that will ground people in the knowledge of the truth so that the least among us will become as strong as David. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, let us move further as we gain little mileage. Yes, are you still there? Romans 12, where are you? So I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The difference between the Old Testament sacrifice and the kind of sacrifice we are giving of ourselves is that the Old Testament sacrifice is made unconscious in death before they burn the person up. But this is our own. It's like that of Isaac. The young man knew he was going to die and he surrendered to the death process. He did not fight his father. His father was already old and the guy was full of life. He can even kill the father. If it was a fight, he would have won. But he surrendered. In this matter of a living sacrifice, you are going to be conscious of every deliberate move you take in order to consecrate. Your brain will be involved. You will have many options. But you will choose, not just once, not in a ceremony like this, and say, okay, I'll follow you. That's rubbish. And some of the songs that we sing, it doesn't get to heaven. You'll say, okay, you are all that matters. You are all that. He didn't hear it. It's a lie. It's a lie. But it's sweet in the ears, but it has little spiritual meaning when it is sung by a rebbe. The island of truth, even heaven, will not reckon with such singing. Hallelujah. Good. So we said consecration has two sides. What's the first side? Okay, can we do 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14 and verse number 15. Who is there? For the love of Christ constraineth us. Is that 14? All right. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Next verse. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. This scripture makes illegal any practice in our culture and custom that encourages you to advance a life that is centered around self. It is illegal. Because the principle by which your redemption was procured was substitution. Let me explain to you the implication of substitution on your Christian life. Now, maybe imagine that I and AB are identical twins. And AB, and I heard that among identical twins, one is normally stubborn and the other one is cool. It's not scientific, so don't bank on it. But I heard that it is like that. Now, so maybe AB is the stubborn one. He now goes and causes trouble. And after causing trouble, he now comes back home. Tells me, this is what he has done. I said, okay, hide inside. The police came to arrest, and I went. And I was prosecuted in court, and I was jailed in prison. AB can no longer use his name. He will have to use my name. He will have to go, if I'm in University of Agriculture, he will have to go there and continue my engineering. He can't live his life again. His life is in jail. So what substitution means, and the implication of substitution, is that you can't, it is illegal for you to come out now. You still want to be AB. Are you following? Then you will have to, you can't live for yourself anymore. You will live for him. The one that was your substitute, it is his own life you will now live. So, for every reasonable Christian, what he does is that he receives matching orders from Jesus. Because the principle of substitution is part of the fabric of your salvation. And the fulfillment of that principle is in the fact that from henceforth, you begin to live for Jesus. You know, when we begin to preach these things, people say it's old school. That we are not in the supersonic. I have spent more than half of my life studying the Bible. I can tell you my studied opinion. Many people on the pulpit in Nigeria have no business being there. Many people. About 65% of the people on pulpits don't have any business being there. Hallelujah. This is the life that God has called us to live. The life of substitution. So, when I finished youth service, went back home, started a fast, and for the first time in my life, the first day I started fast, God spoke to me that day. Normally, it takes a long time, then sometimes I might even be frustrated and stop the fast. Then, 2 days after I stop, you now come and say, yes, this is. But that time, the first day I started the fast, God encountered me. Because I wanted to go into full-time ministry. He said, you will not go into full-time ministry. I will give you a job. And you will invest in many destinies. And a great network will be formed. I said, I'm not looking for a job. He didn't answer me. That's how God is. That's how he relates with me. If I'm saying the wrong thing, he will just keep quiet. So when I now discover that he has kept quiet, I said, okay. I'll now align. Then he will now start talking again. That word, that's the reason why I am in public service, because he spoke to me. And I've been there for 16 years. But while I was coming for this conference, we're on the road, he came again in the car and said, when is your passport going to expire? I said, 28th of next month. He said, that's the very day your job expires. Meanwhile, if you look at it from the eyes of man, I'm supposed to be a manager by next year. I'm competent at what I do. I'm good at it. And everybody in that line of profession is hoping for when he can be what? A manager. Oh my God. And then the great one now comes and says, the date, the expiry date on your passport has two significances. One, your passport has expired. Two, also your job has expired. I know somebody will say, because you have already calculated the money.
Then you will find out that there is a challenge. The challenge is that Mammon also wants to gain mastery of you. So if I am a servant of Jesus, if I am a consecrated believer, in fact, I say yes, sir, many times before we reach Lokoja. And I'm talking about the petroleum industry, not teaching service board in Kogi State. Well, may the Lord help.
You can see Mokeri and Mahaiko Poton.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the great one came and says, it has expired. And when you look back, there's so much mathematical accuracy. Because this 16th year is midpoint of my career. If I were to go finish the full scope of my career, I will only be able to put in 32 years because of my age out of the 35. All right? So 16 is midpoint. And then the great one says, it's time. Because he told me that he will keep me on that job until I become a full-blown apostle.
Yes.
So as at last year, his assessment, I saw his assessment. He said, you are trying, but you are not there yet. When you are there, I will tell you. So, you thought you invited me for a conference, but the prayers you prayed, you may feel is not sufficient, is what made me pick that thing. So me too, I was blessed. My own blessing came before I arrived. So as I'm leaving this place now, I'm on my way out. That is the life of a man that lives on earth to serve the will of God. Consecration makes you a creature that is tied to the implementation of the will of God upon the face of the earth. In the life of a consecrated believer, you can truly say Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 is fulfilled. For it is no longer I that liveth, but it is Christ that lives in me. And I know you like that scripture just like I do. If we are to summarize Christianity into one verse, that's the verse. I hope you know.
Yes,
meanwhile, are you there? The testimony that is in that scripture is not change. It's not the things I used to do, I do them. The things I used to do, I do them. The things I used to do, I do them no more. There is a great change since I'm born. That's not the testimony of that scripture. The testimony is not change. Because the Shaolin monk that is addicted to yoga meditation has also effected changes in his life. So change is not the sign here. That testimony is exchange. It is no longer I, it is Christ. I have been exchanged for Christ. That is the fulfillment of the objectivity of substitution. So what you are seeing me do, my desires, my options, my decisions are a product of the things Jesus once done in my life. So it is Jesus doing the things that you see. It is no longer my will, my wisdom, or my strategy. That is the true testimony of the Christian life. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now, because of time, I've been running for time since we started the discussion. I will need to take us deeper. And that will require that we go to the book of Leviticus. Chapter 8, where I wanted to start from before. What we are going to study in Leviticus chapter 8 is what I titled The Way of Consecration. The Way
of consecration. If I finish doing the way of consecration, then I'm going to contrast two scriptures in the Bible, Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 12. If you are a good Bible student, you will know that Exodus 28:29 talks about consecration. Leviticus 8 talks about consecration. Romans chapter 6 talks about consecration. Romans chapter 12 talks about consecration. All right. Let us do Leviticus. Are you there with me now? Amen. Leviticus chapter 8. This is the way of priesthood. Because the meaning of priesthood is that every priest has a preoccupation. And the preoccupation of every priest is that such a priest is in the service of God. The foundation of serving God is not an ambition, is consecration. And we are not consecrating so that we can become evangelists. We are not consecrating so that we can become pastors. We are consecrating so that we can serve God's will. And it might be that for 16 years, God's will for you might be, like me, might be to take a job and be working that job while you are working on every aspect of your life that is still defective and non-compliant. Do you understand that? Until you become wholesome in your maturity and God can release you as a messenger to a generation. So, in serving the will of God, sometimes there can be inactivity because the word service, as used in the Greek, is the same word for waiter in the restaurant. Now, you see, a waiter, if there's no customer, he's still there. But he's not doing anything, but he's ready for service. You must have the orientation of a waiter, not a servant. Are you with me? Now, the Bible says that the apostles were called, first of all, to be with Jesus, a waiter. Then, it is when you are now used to being around Jesus, that if he has an errand to commit to you, he can now dispatch you to carry it out. You were never a waiter, you're already an evangelist. Check that calling. That calling will not carry authority. Go and sit down. Go and sit down. Go and sit down. Go and sit down. You don't know what it means to be a waiter. Because it is only the customers that come to the restaurant that can engage the waiter. The waiter resumed before the customers came. But even though there was no customer, he was already working his work schedule. Never waited on Jesus. Never. There was no year in your life you woke up every day and said, Jesus, I want to serve you today. I want to do your will. That's why I'm here. And then you say, all right, sit down, don't go out. And the moment he says that, sit down, your leg will become hot. Activity. Then you will need to receive a grace that will give you gravity to sit down if Jesus says sit down. And maybe what he's teaching you for 2 years is sit down. Because your spirit, your blood is hot, everything. You're everywhere, you're on with phone like this. Chatting. We don't even know whether it's demons that are replying your chat. Sit down. You can't sit down. It's because you can't sit down that you cannot meditate on the scriptures. You are on the go. And you cannot survive this world that is insulated with the systems of Cain. You can't survive it if you don't know how to resonate on Christ's frequency. There are many lectures and lessons he will take you through before you can become his messenger. If not, the error in your life will reflect in what you preach. When you find a preacher preaching hyper grace, now you don't need to confess past, present, future sins. Take a binoculars and scan his life. There is a sin there that he is pampering. The easiest way to live holy as a preacher is preach holiness back. You will live right. If you want to do the thing you say, you will be. The alarm signal will ring. I'm giving you tips.
For 24 years in a church, nothing like holiness was ever preached. You raise thieves. Yahoo. Money will be coming, but the money that is coming is your God. That's why you set up the entire system. Because anything that the Christos pioneers must have the nature of defect, the detachment must have that nature. When you look at it, you know this is not of this world. You will know. It's not of this world. It's different from what this world can produce. This world in all of its advancements cannot approximate to the standard I am seeing here. No school, no educational system can produce a man like this. Then if they check well, they will now notice that they have been with Jesus. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we've had a lot of things go on in the body of Christ, which is not of God. But it is shrouded behind a title. I'm in a very good building that is air-conditioned. So when you come inside, you say, okay, this is how heaven will look like. This is how heaven. This is how heaven. You know, the average believer doesn't study the Bible. So anything he sees that glows look like heaven. And he doesn't know that even the devil himself is transformed to become an angel of light. But in the days in which we live, our discernment must be heightened so that we can track the activities of the devil in his business, his enterprise of deception. Our hearts can truly belong to the Lord. And in that day, Satan will know his time is up. It is our rebellion that has empowered Satan. The day we all align and say, we will not, if everybody on earth say, we will not serve Satan again, you will discover he's not as powerful as you thought. So the recovery must begin with you. I decided to serve Jesus. Yeah. Every single day of your life, you will have to say that. Today, I've not changed. I am still in the service of Jesus. I never knew when to preach in Brazil. Hallelujah. You know, because of what the tragedy that befell me, how that people said I was using my wedding ring as a miracle wand. And because of the part of the country that I came from, they say all of us are messy men. We are sorcerers. So I now begged my wife, and she gave me the liberty that my own ring is in my heart. It's a permanent ring. This one, because of ministry, let me keep it. I didn't know that in Brazil, when the ladies see you without a ring, it means you are available. You see, remain in Ganaja and deal with lust in your life. Don't even think about crossing the border. You will come back naked at the sons of Sceva. May God help us in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Brazilian white ladies, they like black people because they believe that we are honest. We are more... Oh, you know the rate of divorce there is massive. And they have discovered that black men keep their wives. So they are the ones that will look for you. If Jesus has not touched you, stay in Ganaja. If you count 1 to 10 Brazilian ladies, all of them are fine. There is no ugly. 1 to 10, all. Yes. If Baba has not walked, why not? You see, it is in the days when you are a waiter that the structure that will carry your ministry will be built in. It takes time for God to form character. It takes time. It's now I know why God said I should work in the oil industry. When I was working in Lagos, deals were flowing everywhere. And I assure you, the most sanctimonious and pious of us here today, if you see dollars in a gym test bag, fresh ones, the one that smells, and you smell it, you don't know what you will do after smelling that. You don't know.
You know, we come to church so pious and sacramental. Say, I belong to you. Bring dollars. Let it, once you smell it. I was there for 7 years. 7 years. My colleagues, one of my colleagues bought 2 houses in Lagos one day and 1 car from a car shop because of a deal. I have 5 opportunities for deals every month, and I was there for 7 years. Trekking. I had no car. You know why? I stayed long as a waiter. Jesus touched me. Jesus, he touched me. Today, someone that is still laboring to survive the last fornication he had is already ordained. See, then you see him on poster, big flex, he's doing like this. Oh my God. That's not how cities are taken. The powers in the land have your records. They have your records. Went to preach in Warrior, and as I was preaching, I now felt that there was a witch in the auditorium, so I stopped. And I began to pray the kind of prayer I prayed yesterday. I started, but that one was not territorial. The one I was praying was to locate the... I started praying that. Before we knew it, the witch stood up and was coming to kill me. I said, I came here to die. When she ran, me too, I ran. Because we are not well. We are possessed. We are possessed. She cried and spoke pidgin English and said, "Where this one come from?" Because she checked the data bank. I was not from the territory. It is you that operates without data. They know every man. Because they, from the way she spoke, there was nobody in that territory that could challenge her. She was delivered massively, gloriously that night. They have records. They have records. I was long as a waiter. And then greed. Jesus will switch it off. Lost. One Tom eyes, the one that you can see somebody and that is well dressed, but you can see how naked. You can, your eyes are infrared. They can discern. Every part of you that the devil have built a pump station, God will demolish it because of your willing consecration until every investment of Satan no longer exists. You become a living sacrifice. And we know that even if it's Neaso Rock Villa you go and you are tempted, they bring money. We know you. If he has dealt with you, it won't change anything. You can go there and say, "Sorry, my service to my country is voluntary. We don't need to be paid, but thus hear the Lord. Last week you slept with somebody's wife." They will believe you when they see that there's no greed in your life. I've gone to places to deliver the word of the Lord. The first thing they will do is to test your greed. Then we show them that, "Sorry, we have a different master. We have been bought already, so you can't buy us." When the kings of Sodom and the environs, they came to give Abraham the spoil of the battle he won. He said, "Unfortunately, before you showed up, I had lifted up my hands," which is lift. That's surrender. "I surrender to the Lord Most High, the creator of the heavens and the earth." And because of that surrender, it will be out of place for me to take a shoe latchet from me. Because in the days to come, I know that I will be rich. So that you will not be able to say, "I made Abraham." And I go with my transport. When they say a politician needs the word of the Lord, so I go with transport because they won't transport me back. And God doesn't allow me to see positive things. I don't know. is the wife of someone you sleep with. That's the thing I will now.
He won't allow me to see, okay, hallelujah. You know what? I'm bought. And that is supposed to be the object of consecration. Leviticus, as I try to round up, time is almost done. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take Aaron and his two sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and a bullock for the sin offering, and two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread. These are, and what I'm trying to show you is the way of consecration. And those items were the things that were required for that ceremony. I know you know the sin offering, because Jesus in the New Testament is our sin sacrifice. He became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God. I know you know that, so we'll forget about that. And then the two rams. The first of the two rams is a burnt offering. And then the second of the two rams is what we call the consecration offering. Technical man, can you move us to Leviticus chapter 8 from verse 22 to 28? The second of the two rams is a consecration offering. Because the principle of consecration, because the two rams actually illustrate consecration and its implication. First of all, you are a burnt offering. It is indicative of the fact that you are no longer existing to do your will. You are dead to your will, dead to your ambition, dead to your ideas, dead to your wisdom, dead to your strategy. Now you are living to do the will of God. If I take you back in memory lane and we request for your diary where you document your dealings with God, and there is no progression of God said this, I began to do it, it came to pass. God said this, I began to do it, it came to pass. If there's no such record for you, you are living in limbo. Your life is not striking a chord in your realm of reality. The meaning of your life is your service to Jesus. Not the service you want to do for him. The one he asked you to do. That's what we're talking about. So, that's what it means when we say burnt offering. It's no longer your will. It is his will. So I can show you what I did for 16 years in my diary. This was where Jesus said, this is what I will do. Right? When I stopped doing it, it's because Jesus came and said, you can stop now. And you can start this. I have a meticulous documentation of my life and my work with Jesus. I was in Dubai in a hotel called Rehab in Dera Sabka. I've forgotten the room number. It's unlike me to forget like that, but I don't know. I've forgotten it. Tried to eat food in the restaurant. Told them to give me rice. When they brought the rice, it was green colored. So I was wondering how rice can be green. It was when I tasted it. It tastes like Maggi. So I spilled it out and asked the restaurant man, it's food I asked for. The man said, this one is drug. That is, the thing is a balanced diet. It's drug. If you eat it, it's not sweet, oh, but it will be drug for your body. I said, I'm not sick. So I couldn't eat. It was because Jesus wanted me to fast. I left the dining table, left their food. When I came into the room, I met Jesus standing there. And he gave me an instruction that shaped my life for the next 10 years. Who is instructing you? I was coming to the church area and they were bringing a lady. And God whispered to me and said, that lady they are bringing at your back is dead. Raise her up. So I thought, looked at her. She came back to life. All right? She came. And I was just coming to the office. She came back to life. Then I went back and said, is it so easy to do this kind of thing like this? Then I found that he taught me how to raise the dead. He said, have you ever casted out a spirit before? You told the spirit to go. I said, yes, I've done that. He said the same thing. Tell the spirit to come. I said, just do the reverse mode. I said, wow. Then somebody died again. I went to try it. It didn't work. You know me, I will tell you my own. Then I say, why didn't it work? He said, I didn't send you that. You know, flesh will just come and say, oh. I found that in your walk with God, whenever you say, I got it, you have lost it. My time is up. It's time for us to pray. Can we ask and say, Lord, this life that I have now, I want to live it for you. Open my eyes. Cause me to see the things you want me to see. The emphasis of your spirit for my life, for my destiny. Let my eyes be open to it in the name of Jesus. Let my eyes be open to it. Let my eyes be open to it. I don't want to live for myself. I want to live for you. I want to do your will. Oh my God. Is there any quarrel between you and the Lord? There's a relationship in your life that God is irritated about. It will be a good moment for you to put it aside. It's no longer I that liveth. It is no longer I that liveth. It is no longer I that liveth. It is Christ. It is Christ. He needs to possess a man to do his will upon the face of the earth. A life that is locked under his government. It is no longer my way, my style, my strategy. He has taken over. The life that you see me live today is not my wish. What I do is the wish of the one under whose government I navigate. It is no longer I. It is Christ. It's the one walking in me mightily by the counsel of his will. It is his spirit that is responsible for the works that are done by my hands. The life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Oh, there is a higher definition of life that God is calling us into. A higher possibility. The grace of God as we mobilize. God wants to take us beyond the primordial fashion, the primordial state of things, into the eternal scheme, the program of God, that which God intends to implement upon the face of the earth. And you and me, we are his foot soldiers, the only people he has through whom he can show forth his strength to a generation facing severe crisis. I will serve your will. Kabosemi pali kampaila kofe salatama. Breskofe sendo koli mahaito. Embro menela. Iska breskoma. Braiko pante suma la kapaha. Eila makose kapatande zuma. Breso ke patia la makonteli. Brabakuta esko patua. I bought myself so that I can be a vessel unto honor. I bought myself. Yakobelemi. Siamamo kampreskuve. Breskove sandali. Eka preskombela. A new breed without greed. A radical opposition against unrighteousness.
Men that fear God and hate sin, such as dance to the beat of a different drummer, such as pledge their allegiance to a different flag. Amesokelia. Iborondes gesosina barama. Prebiscote bascuda mentole. E capaito copetame. Escubra masila. E paratos che balima. Prescomba latos che volamo. A presco fetetelia. E bramina cunde. Zico petemala. A prescombe. I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong to you. Sovete moschilo, premo compela, parababasca sosesail, embro compelina coria, iscopre la masanda, acapase solemande, iscopre la mocota, apreso mantal, e la mamale, iscompele mahaila, precampo scape, e capeso se la cabelunde, embro scapeza ico, preco patalia, agembo rote semina, pranta babola, akamba somena curia, ese capato compelama, iso seria, e presco petacomba, buracos que te pregete, e capanto scopeta caia, eso se la cuntele, a pranta cumba, a mezuzai, asketobela, labra santa baboria, Abrescopeta, Iacabezo Santelia, Icapato cumpre, Ebroscapetabo, Balescompele, Ecumpesca, Santabola, Ematalia, Alema, Alema, Zaicompele, Zaicompatua, Abedusketamala, Abrescata Brondo, Ezazaila, Icompete, Melita, Melita, Zagabonda, Zagabonda, Zagabonda. Aprende, 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 que ben sose, mama mayato. Abas compre, paratas que dopre capatalia, abramasi, arabo, papa, 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 zapatalia, fresco palamo, urabo cos, pralil, esose, gemi, le capale, e pracaba cantala, acabai la compre. Prescopelamo santa memoria, I cabezo sale, e pregete, la platomba la, bradada la cuselada brand, e a brada massa, e a la branda babola, a leda branda babola, a breda puta, sema quebro campo, a placata la memoria, seminala, parato se, le cante, pula mal, I cobalato, prescopela, a cabalaita, E cabala balada branda babore, sabate, apresca, 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 apresca. Come ele a mamá, já preca bolsa branda babore. E babalata, e comple, sutema, pareça, abracanda la babó, balato sete la babala, e bramacanda, balato samenale, presca pele bote. Asasala, asasala babore, asasala babore, asasala babore, ebramantala, paracane, shaita, paracompressa babure, elacase salato, braqueta bocotala, braqueta la da socabar, amparata branda basacata, precabanto compe, puse se, aselie, 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 palamo. Alela, paia catalemo, zepregede, palu mama. Alla baboria branda bossa. Alla baboria. She got a bullet,
Shake it up, 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 shake